What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. Last week, I got an answered prayer in a way that I wasn't sure how God was going to answer this prayer, but when I got the answer, it was so clear, it was so in my face that I only could just look at God and fall more deeply in love with him, because not only does he answer prayers, but he goes above and beyond when it comes to a prayer. So a couple of months ago, or just throughout these 6 months that we've been in 2025, I've been praying to God to not only show me the ways that I need to work on my character, my heart, but I also asked God if he could show me the way that he sees me very clearly. And I, you know, didn't know how he was going to do that. I wasn't really looking for anything in particular, but boy, did he show out. So my best friend sent me a message. Well, she called me the other day and told me that she received the most sweetest message about me from a person that went to middle school with her and high school with me. Now, mind you, my best friend lives in Savannah. She's been born and raised in Savannah, and I'm from Warner Robins. So for her to know somebody and for me to know somebody in that age is few and far between. Like, there can be no coincidence with this. So he reached out to her because he thought that maybe they went to high school together, but realized they didn't, and that he knew me and wanted to know how she knew me. Now, mind you, me and my best friend went to college together, but that's neither here nor there. So she calls me and says, Ariana, I got the sweetest message from him, and this is what it said. The message went, oh yes, I remember Ariana from high school. She was a beautiful person with an even more beautiful soul. And she was just fun to be around. She was nice to everybody, and she was extremely funny. Now, you may hear this and go, some people who are my friends, some people that are my clients, y'all probably know, or just people that may have had interaction with me would probably go, okay, yeah, I'm not surprised about something like that. And even my best friend responded to the message and said, yeah, no, she's still all of those things so many years later. But what was shocking for me, and this is why you never know what another person is going through, is that during middle school, high school, and most of my 20s, you couldn't have told me that I thought that that's what people thought about me. You couldn't have, because I went through so many, you know, growing pains in middle school and growing pains in high school and really growing pains in my 20s up until, I'll say, 28, and I'm about to be 31. So only in the last 3 years have I felt free and open and all of these things. And as I was reflecting on what she told me, I just felt the fullness of my heart, because I just would, looking back on it, it just reminds me of how much your testimony is not only important for people to hear, but it's necessary for people to hear, right? Because, you know, we always hear the phrase, like, thank God I don't look like what I've been through. I've been wanting to do my testimony episode since the beginning, but God kept telling me to wait, to wait, and to wait. And I just couldn't quite understand why. But I really, truly believe that the reason why he told me to wait is because he needed me to understand the magnitude of what my testimony was going to be. Because
if I just flippantly talked about it, people may not understand, people may get it, may not, but like it wasn't going to glorify God the way it needs to. Because I've had several encounters with God between the ages of 10 and 31. But now more than ever, this season of my life, of me getting closer to God, my testimony makes a lot more sense now. And I understand the weight of it now. And I understand that through testimonies that we've even seen in the Bible, my pastor always says for us to use our brain. If we think about back then when the multitudes were starting to learn about Jesus, they didn't have social media. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have TV shows. So they didn't have news networks. How were they able to identify Jesus in a crowd? And that was because of the testimony of what he did in people's lives through oral recognition. So as I embark on this conversation, this means a lot to me now. Let's talk about high school, middle school Ariana for a second. She experienced high levels of anxiety and low levels of self-esteem. Now, mind you, I was in church. I went to church. My mom was a diligent, woman of faith, still is. It's not past tense. She's still alive and she still is a woman of faith. But she was diligent in the making sure that I was raised up well, because she truly took on the message that you train up a child in the way that he shall go and they shall never depart from it. My mom truly believed that. And so I was at Sunday service. I was there on Wednesday nights. My mom served, so I served, because, she was a single mom and I wasn't being babysat. So she was like, you coming along with me. So I served the pastor and I served his family and all of these different things. So I knew who God was. I knew who Jesus was. I knew the characters and the people in the Bible, but I know now that I didn't know what the kingdom of God was, like being fully in the kingdom, because I was still, openly searching for the fulfilling of my heart, right? I was still trying to fill this space in my heart with so many different things. And it just grew in its intensity as I got older, whether it was I was looking for acceptance from my parents through academic success, because that was the only thing at times, especially when I was young, that I was praised for. I was praised for being, intelligent and smart and, taking criticism well and things like that, that became the identity, right? That became where my worth lied. Like my worth was in my performance and what I was able to do, because that captured the attention of the adults around me. And while I was doing that on one side, on the opposite side, when we're talking about our peers, the people that were my age or older, or a little bit younger, it was a whole different battlefield. Because I didn't have a personality like everybody else. I was an eclectic child. I enjoyed multiple things. And a lot of people I perceived. So that's why it's important. And you'll hear me say this time and time again, that it is important for you not to always create your reality, your worth, and your value in the perception of failed and flawed human beings. And it's not to judge them, it's not to discredit them, but they are a created being just like you are. The only real true measurement, the only true measurer of your worth is the person who created you, which is your Father in heaven. Not even your earthly parents. Your earthly parents can create a narrative about you, but it's not going to circumvent or eclipse what the Father in heaven has to say about you. But let's get back to the story, right? So I was amongst my peers trying to fit in. typical, right? Even if we think about, if I go to the psychological term, one of the stages between 12 and 17 is identity versus role confusion. Think about that with how God works, even in the matters of science. Why is that so important? Because that is where children are becoming more and more independent, self-sufficient. They're trying to figure out who they're going to be in this world. And a lot of times, based on the theory of psychosocial development, if you do not establish and check off that part of your life and realizing who your identity is, who you are, and what you will be in a state of continuous confusion. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because I can say for a fact that I was confused. I didn't know who I was. I was this academically gifted person, but I also was rejected by my peers for being academically successful and being, and not in a way like I was called a nerd or, you know, anything like that. It was just more of like, people didn't know what I was into, and I was the quiet girl, and I was, you know, I did all these things. And mind you, I was on a cheer team, I was in clubs, you know, I was in all these things. So my face was out there, but I oftentimes felt like nobody understood me, that I was, you know, I wasn't doing the things that the girls in my class were doing. And the boys weren't necessarily checking for me because I wasn't doing what the girls in school were doing, right? And I feel like I didn't necessarily even accomplish the task that the theory described, right? I was confused. And then on top of, you know, being rejected at school, and, you know, losing friends and gaining friends. And, you know, even when I was losing friendships, I was losing them in like a clean swoop, y'all. Like, I'd have like three friends, one friend would fall out with me, and then the rest of them would, you know, leave behind. And I'm not even going to go into the details of like who was at fault, because, you know, I can look back and say that maybe I could have done things differently, and so could they have. But that's not where we're going to go today. But that's what was happening throughout my, you know, years in high school. On top of that, I was at home, you know, my mom was married to a man who, you know, I'm working and continuously having to forgive for his behaviors and what he, you know, how he treated me, and the isolation that how he treated me dealt with, because nobody really quite understood that either. So I'm walking around this world not feeling like I'm understood. And so I go to college and I feel the same experience. And then it's even worse, because college is all the things that if you went, you remember, like, what are you doing? Are you partying? Are you drinking? Are you having sex? Are you doing? And I was doing none of it. And I felt more and more anxious, worried about how people perceived me, worried about, like, was I being accepted? And I would get a little bit of the acceptance, and then it would be taken from me very quickly at the same breath. And I, you know, was not in touch with God. Like, God was very far from me. And that started even in high school, because we stopped going to church as much. And I mean, I had no autonomy. I couldn't go myself. I couldn't get in a car and drive, and, you know, and then a lot of things just started filling the space that I felt God was so far from me. I felt that he forgot about his child. Like, he was punishing me because I wasn't doing enough and I wasn't good enough and all of these different things. And I remember how long it took me, even when I was in therapy, to admit out loud that I believed in my whole heart that God had rejected me and that he was punishing me for some indiscretion I did. And because I wasn't getting the true things of my heart, which was I wanted to be accepted by people. I wanted to be accepted by men. I wanted them to see beauty in me, see value in me, see worth in me. And it wasn't happening. Y'all, it was not happening whatsoever. And my friends were getting it, and you know, they were explaining stuff to me and trying to even mention the fact that by 23, I still was a virgin. And when men would find out, they would reject me and they would push away from me. And I said, God, this must be because you don't like me. Like I did something wrong. Like, and if you could just tell me what I did, I just wanted God to tell me what I did to feel so rejected in my life, y'all. And I just didn't know what to do. I tried. So what I did instead was I just threw myself into my academics because that was the only thing that I could perceive as me being successful in. I, you know, graduated from undergrad with a high GPA. I went to work, but then I went and got my master's. Because even in that year break I took, I picked up a drinking habit and I isolated myself even further because the pressures of trying to achieve, especially because I wasn't in school anymore, was high because I wasn't getting the applause anymore. I was still empty. I'm still trying to figure out what I can get to have God fulfill the true desires of my heart, which at the time was marriage and, you know, companionship and like people that would be for me and accept me and embrace me and all of the things. And the story continues. And I want y'all to understand as I'm trying to tell, like I don't want this to be a long run-on sentence, but I need y'all to understand how anxious I was. When I tell you, my mind would go a mile a minute. And to the point that there were several times in therapy, which my therapist eventually told me, because I never thought I was suicidal. Like I never wanted to kill myself. I didn't want to harm myself in that way. At least I didn't think so. But my therapist even had to tell me that some of my statements were with suicidality in it. So I'm sitting here and telling you that I was so anxious that I was suicidal, right? Like I can admit that out loud because I would tell her like, if I could just bash my head, I'm sorry for how graphic that sounds, but I just wanted the thoughts to stop. I wanted it to stop. I wanted to not be so trapped, feel like I was entrapped in my mind. I wanted it all to stop, right? But I kept accomplishing. If you would have looked at me, you would not have thought that that's what I was experiencing. You would have thought that I was okay because I was accomplishing. I was accomplishing. I was accomplishing. And I remember when I graduated from undergrad in 2020. I mean, not in undergrad, graduate school, I apologize, from Mercer. Again, I was back on the grind. Like now I needed to get licensed and things like that. But in 2021, I, again, had another set of girlfriends. I had a girl group. We were in Atlanta. We were tearing the city of Atlanta up, you know, partying and, you know, doing things. And I think at that point, I had actually lost my virginity. And, you know, I look back on it and realize that I truly did that thinking that that would make me more inviting to the male gaze, and it wasn't. It still didn't do what I thought it was going to do. So I have remorse for removing that intimate thing that I had for myself, but I have forgiven myself for that. And if you ever have made decisions, you know, thinking it was going to do one thing, but actually it pushed you further from God, I let you know that you're not alone in that, that I have also experienced that. And all I can tell you is that God has blotted it out. You may still experience the consequences of it, but God has blotted it out. Like he's forgiven you for it. And you just have to move forward and ask for his sustaining power in your life. So we get to 2021. Again, like I said, I've been friends with these girls for at least 5-6 years. And, you know, we're having a good time based on me. I mean, we're in and out, we're spending money, we're doing all these things. And something happened where I can only now say it was God. He removed that friend group from me completely, like with no understanding. I had no clarity. And I just remember feeling so lost because here I was yet again with no support, no friends, rejected. And I was actually almost cool with it. I was like, I still have my best friend from college. She might be all I need, right? So I was cool. But I mean, of course, we're long distance friends, but I was like, hey, you know, it'll be fine. And the Lord spoke through my therapist and said, you know, you don't have to make that your story. You can, you know, reach out to people. So she told me to reach out to one friend or one acquaintance that I've had that I would like to start a true friendship with. And I'll never forget, it was July of 2021 that I reached out to my dear friend, Kiana. Shout out to Kiana if you're listening. And I was like, hey, would you like to go to brunch? And by my surprise, I truly was surprised because I didn't think, again, at this point, you guys, I don't think people want to be my friend. I don't think people are want to be in my presence because what do I have to offer? I have nothing to offer in my book because my worth was deemed in what people had said about me over and over and over again over the years. And she accepted. She was like, yes, of course, let's go to brunch. Y'all, we sat at Atlantic Breakfast Club. Shout out to them. And normally they have like a 2-3 hour wait for their restaurant. Me and her sat in that waiting area for 2 hours and just talked and talked and talked. And I just told her about my experiences. And I told her, like, I know that you do a lot of things. So, like, just don't forget about me. And if you ask me to do anything, I will say yes. And that's where the first moment that I just was obedient to what I felt like the Lord was turning me into, even if I didn't know that that's what it was. And from there, I was opened up to an understanding of God that I had never known before through my friend Kiana. She made it sound so simple about being in communion with God. And from there, I built on friendships. And I feel like that could have been my testimony, right? Where like I found this good group of friends and they loved me and they accepted me and I was good to go. Now, like, I got exactly what I wanted. But God was not done with me yet, y'all. Now as I'm even responding and talking about it, if I would have told my story 6 months ago, I would have stopped there. I would have stopped right in that moment and said life was good and life was great. And now, you know, I have joy and peace and all these things. But that wasn't the final time God was going to encounter me. And it's still not going to be even the one I'm about to tell y'all, it's still not the final time that God spoke to me. So I have my friend group. And all of these things are happening and I'm starting to open my heart up more. I have people that are literally telling me, hey, Ariana, we don't know what's going on with you unless you tell us. You have to open your mouth. Because I was so afraid to open my mouth because I felt like people would reject me. And that's what kept me from praying for years because I was like, God is going to shut the door and he's not going to open any door for me if I ask out loud. And then that's going to be even more soul crushing and bone breaking for me. I couldn't handle another one of those things. I just couldn't. But between that time and even now, I went through the work, you guys. Like, I started working on myself. I worked on my relationship with my father, my earth father. I forgave him and I started working on those things. I started to unearth the lies of the enemy that had been festering and had been growing within me. And even as I sat there and kept plucking some things. Of course, the enemy's not going to leave me alone, and found my church in that same year because, you know, I finally realized that none of the earthly things were going to fulfill my heart, because in the same year, which is 2023, I got my full license and I felt the most empty. Biggest accomplishment of my career. And I felt the most empty. And I realized that I needed to figure out or explore what could actually fill that space. So I went back to in-person church for the first time. And then I started being in my word and I started to actually understand what God wanted from me, which was just his, he just wanted my love. He wanted me to choose him. So I started choosing him in everything. I started to tithe. I started to, you know, attend church regularly. I started doing it all. And in the moment of true anguish, God met me right there and said, are you ready for me? Are you ready to say yes to me? Because you keep seeking others. And I'm right here and I haven't left you. And in that moment, I knew that it was time for me to get serious with God, to know him, to pray towards him, to understand his word and understand his people and understand myself. So 2023 marked the year that I decided at the end of 2023, it made me decide I was going to choose him. I was going to say yes, just like I said yes to Kiana 2 years prior. I was going to say yes to the Lord now. I was going to say yes to all that he was. And in the midst of that, I, you know, got closer with all three women of God, which is Kiana and Crystal and Regine. And you know, even me and my best friend's relationship deepened even more. Shout out to Jamila. And I started to become more of a friend than I had before. And I became more receptive and less offended. And we started to learn about God together. And we were in church together and we were doing things that I wouldn't have thought would be fun even 5 years prior, but were bringing me so much joy and power and love. And the more I read about this God that I had known about all my life, I don't have the story where I didn't know God and he met me in like the deepest bowels of some place. Like I knew God, I knew who he was, I knew who Jesus was, but I truly, truly didn't know his kingdom, his promises, what he said about me, what he knew about me. And so I started to unpack these verses like Psalms 139, where it says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, or the verses in Jeremiah where God knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb, or in Isaiah where he says that I've called you by name, that you belong to me. And even when we get to the New Testament and the New Gospel, where it's like, for God so loved the world, and the world is me, like I'm a part of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that I could always have this relationship with him, were the things that I began to realize so deeply, so intimately, that I don't have enough time in the day. I don't have enough time in this podcast episode. I don't have enough time in the world to share about the goodness of the Lord and who he's been in my life. When I look back, and I realize that every moment that I thought God had forsaken me, he was doing the extreme opposite, that he was protecting me and that he was guiding me and that he sat in a space with me when I rejected him and he was just waiting. He kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking on my door until I was ready to answer it. My mom couldn't make me do it. My dad couldn't make me do it. My grandmother couldn't make me do it. Anybody that had been praying over me, who had fasted for me, who did any of those things could not do it. Nobody could give me what the Lord gave me, which is he accepted me into his kingdom. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like, there's nothing that anybody can take from me that's going to remove me from his presence, remove me from his kingdom. Like, so even as I received that comment, what it reminded me was that even when the devil thought he had me in my brain and he thought he had me in my life, that God still shined his light over his daughter. That people that I thought hated me, and that people that I thought were rejecting me, and people that I assumed thought I was all of these things, did not feel that way. But God could not show me that, because then I would have believed that it was because of my work, y'all. Come on, somebody. I would have thought it was because I had finally won people over. It took God to withhold that from me, so that I could begin to realize that the only reason why I exist is because of him. The only reason why I am loved and cherished is because of him. He has already deemed my worth because he saw that I was good in Genesis. Because God saw this, how this was going to play out back in Genesis, and even beyond, he saw it. So I say that to say that it was only God that could look me in my eyes and say that I love you, daughter. Why do you need to be loved by anybody else? And not to say that I can't be loved by anybody else, but why do they matter more than me? And that, my people, is what my testimony means to me, is that I realize that I don't have to have anything else in this world. Just like the parable of the treasures, where the poor man sold everything he had for the treasure that he discovered. And the rich man did the same thing. They could take away my degrees. They could take away my license. They could take away my health. They can take away my people. They could take away everything from me. And I will still have more than enough, because the Lord in Christ has already known me, loved me, forgiven me, accepted me, and cherished me. And he can do those same things for you. And it's so powerful to me that truly the devil thought he had me. I know he was throwing a party. He thought, yep, I finally got this little girl to stop believing in herself. And God came in like the fourth quarter jumper shot, the fourth quarter pass to the touchdown to win the game. And that's how he did me and snatched me up. And now I'm just waiting for God to continue to knock testimonies out of my body. Because guys, now I don't take anxiety meds. Guys, I don't have anxiety anymore like that. Anytime I even feel the spirit of anxiety, I rush to the Lord and in my word. That's what I do now. And if that is you, and you feel that way too, I want you to know that it is possible to be free of anxiety. It is possible to be free of depression, because the Lord has already accepted us and he's already given us abundancy. One of my favorite songs during my fasting at the top of this year was In the Room by Naomi and Tasha Cobbs. And there's a line where she's giving her testimony, and she says that God told her that depression is a branch off of the tree of rejection. And I need everybody to understand that when I heard that, I recognized, well, what is anxiety then? Anxiety is the branch off of the root of scarcity. You have no scarcity in the kingdom of God. It flows out of you. You have abundancy. Even if you don't have a lot of earthly possessions, you have an abundancy of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You have an abundancy of the Lord's promises. Even if you receive not a single one of them here, you will receive it in your other life, because this life is temporary. This life is not it. We have more in store. Embracing this spirit of abundancy allows you to walk with joy and love and peace and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control. I probably missed one, but it's okay. all of those things flow out of you when you live in abundancy, because that's what the Lord desired for us. I feel that even as I think, I can go on and on and on about the goodness of the Lord. And that's what I feel like is important for us to know in these last days, is that you can receive this too. We are all the creations of the Lord, but all of us are not his children. So what is keeping you from being his child? Is it that you're like me, who was searching the world for a man that already knows your name, that already loves you and cherishes you? I pray that you will receive even, I would just hope that you receive and pray that you receive what he has in store for you, where you realize that he has not rejected you. He hasn't abandoned you. He's not disappointed in you. He just wants the best for you. He wants his best. And I believe that God finally opened the floodgates of affirmations to me by other created beings, because I realized that the greatest compliment I got was from him and how he viewed me, from my reading of the word, from my increase in my prayers and all of these things. Because funny enough, that's not the first time I've heard that recently. I've had my mentor tell me every time she sees me, I look more free. And my friends my best friend who's known me as all my adult life is seeing it. And that's why it was even a bigger compliment for her to tell him she is exactly all of those things. She hasn't changed. Whoever you met at 15 is who she is at 31. That is powerful. That means that God's light, even in my darkness, did not fade. That I still cared about people, even when people were rejecting me. I still showed up for people, even when people weren't showing up for me. So I just want each and every one of y'all to take this testimony, because it matters so much for me to glorify the name of the Lord and all that he has done in my life. All the things that he's done in my life. I will never stop glorifying the name of the Lord our God. I will not stop writing down what he's done, like Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2:1. I'm going to always let you guys know that if you open that Bible and you talk to the Lord, he is not only available, he's not only going to listen, but he will respond to you. He will. I pray right now over each and every one of you that you receive something from this message. I pray that you will step out of a spirit of rejection into a spirit of adoption, that you will come out of the spirit of scarcity and into the spirit of abundancy, that you will recognize that the devil cannot hold you anymore because you have always belonged to the Most High God, that you will begin the slow ascension to accepting the Lord our God in these final days. I pray that you will not weep any longer, that even in circumstances that feel like it is going to pull you under, that you know that God has the final say so. I pray that each and every one of you guys are touched by this message. I pray that you will love the Lord with all your heart and all your might and all your strength and all of your soul, because it is the first and the great commandment, that you will know that your treasures do not have to be stored up on this planet, but could be stored up in heaven. I pray that you just received something and that you were touched by this. I pray all of these things over each and one of you guys, because each and every one of you are his sons and daughters and will potentially continue to be his sons and daughters if you have not been a believer yet. I love you guys, and I thank you for just hearing this message from me.
So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in, and as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.